Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alongside Kevin Harlan, his Monday night partner on Westwood One, the Hall of Fame quarterback, Kurt Warner. And we'd been angling to get Kurt on the show for quite a while. Really excited to finally have that happen here on After Hours. Kurt, you tweeted a photo of the brand new SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, a gorgeous picture. Because I'm a fan of sci-fi, to me it looks like a space station. What are your impressions of this brand new stadium that the Rams have unveiled?
It is awesome. The stadium is beautiful. And, you know, as you know, with all these new stadiums, you know, the big screens up top, it's hard to even take your eyes off of that and watch the game because it's incredible. It's lit up. It's open, so you can kind of feel the air, you know, from the outside. And, I mean, it's beautiful. It's huge. It's going to be an unbelievable home atmosphere when we get through this pandemic and we can fill this up and the Rams fan can come out here and enjoy this experience. Really, really cool, and it was fun to call the game. But as I said, I look forward to it when it's full of fans.
Kevin Harlan told me when he joined my show not that long ago that it's actually been the biggest challenge for him as a broadcaster this season, not to have the crowd noise and not to have the fans. But from a player's perspective, what's the biggest challenge when you have a cavernous stadium like that and it's empty?
You know, I wish I had an answer for you, but I can't remember the last time I played and there weren't fans anywhere, you know, making any kind of noise. And so I remember when I was playing, though, is that I fed off of the fans, and different players feed off the fans in different ways. Some guys are energy guys, right? They need to hear the fans, you know, cheering for them and, you know, get them going. Or even if the fans are booing them, it gives them extra energy. For me, I think it was about focus, is that when I got out on the field, and whether you had 70,000 people cheering for you or 70,000 people cheering against you, it made me focus and kind of tune that stuff out and get me locked into a game a little bit more. And you never really had that in practice. You never really had that feel unless you were in this atmosphere. And so it is fascinating to me. I'm looking forward to talking to some players and saying, okay, what's the biggest difference? Do you really notice it when you get into a game? Or, you know, for me, I had the ability to kind of tune people out where, you know, even when I'm at home and I might sit down to text somebody, I tune out all my kids, even if they're like, dad, and my wife will come over and kind of hit me like, dude, your kids are trying to get a hold of you, but I could get so focused that I don't hear anything. So I'm just fascinated to see what the players say when we get a chance to really talk to them after this experience. And what was different? Was it different? Were they able to get into that same game mode, even though there wasn't the 70,000 fans, you know, cheering them on?
Mm. The LA Rams had padded their lead, or their record, I should say, against the NFC East before this test against the Chicago Bears. What impressed you in their victory tonight?
Well, I think just the balance, whether you talk about the balance offensively, you know, throwing for a little over 200 yards, running for 150 yards, their ability to keep this really good Chicago defense off balance all night long, what they do offensively when they're on schedule and they can, you know, do all their motions and movements and play actions off of their run game, they are a really, really tough team to stop if you can't get some negative plays against them. So balance offensively, but maybe more importantly, balance as a team. You know, this is a top 10 offense and the top 10 defense. And you saw the defense bouncing around, making plays, making big plays at big moments. And, you know, I kind of look across the board at the best teams in the league, and I think you're going to have a top offense and top defense. You know, I look at the Seattles, and I don't know how long they're going to be able to last if they've got to score 30-plus points every week to win. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Los Angeles Rams, a couple teams that jump out to me as teams that can win on either side of the ball, and I think that's going to be key.
I just heard you guys talking about this in the post-game show. I think it's really fascinating, the strength of the NFC West. You mentioned the Seattle Seahawks and maybe not quite being as balanced, but how much separation between the Seahawks, who are at the top of this division, and the defending NFC champs, the Niners, at the bottom, quote unquote?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of separation. We talked about it that I think any team in this division could beat any other team on any given Sunday. And so, you know, how it all shakes out at the end of the day, I don't know. And who can make the most noise in the playoffs is always the most important question. And I could see three teams from this division. Man, could we even see four teams from this division now that there's, you know, seven playoff teams? I mean, we had a stat that the first time, and I don't know, or I think the fifth time ever that, you know, this point in the season, that every team in a division has a winning record. It's above 500. And so this is a good football team. I mean, with the Rams, and then we saw the Rams get beat by the 49ers and Seattle. We saw them get beat by Arizona. I mean, I don't know how it's going to shake out. And, you know, which team gets healthy, which team, you know, kind of gets on a run late in the season. But I think we're going to see at least three of these teams in the playoffs, you know. And, yeah, it'd be crazy if we saw four.
Let's hope they don't completely beat each other up. We're spending a few minutes with Kurt Warner, who's a two-time NFL MVP and, of course, a Super Bowl champ, a Hall of Famer. Fresh off Monday Night Football on Westwood One Radio. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go flip side now. The Chicago Bears exposed, of course, that offense has kind of been doing just enough. We know the defense is really good, but how in the world do you jumpstart that offense?
I don't know. I mean, it has to start with the quarterback position more than anything else. When Mitch was playing, they struggled to get any continuity. They struggled to have consistency at the position. That's why they went to Nick, knowing that he's been a big game guy and, you know, he's had success in the league at different times. But you go back and look at Nick Foles' career, he's never really, you know, maybe outside of 07 when he had that great year in Philly, he's never really been consistent at the position either. You never knew what you were going to get outside of, you know, two or three game run here or there. And we're seeing that show up again. There's no efficiency. There's nothing that I look at and say, oh, they're going to do this every week, and that's what they can hang their hat on. I don't see it with the Bears. Even though I believe they've got some really talented players, especially at the skill positions, they just – I don't know what they do. I don't know what they're good at, and it starts at the quarterback position, is that Nick Foles hasn't shown me that, hey, he can come out and at least give me something every time out. He takes too many chances with the football. You know, and you think back to their team – I mean, they've won three games coming back from double digits, I believe. The Lions game, the Falcons game, the Bucks game.
Yep.
And it's just not a formula to win. They've got to figure out some kind of formula offensively, but I'm really not sure what it is.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Spending a few minutes now with the Hall of Fame quarterback, Kurt Warner. And let's talk about the incredible crop of young stud quarterbacks in the NFL right now. We can find them sprinkled throughout the league in seemingly every division, whether it's a Justin Herbert, who is already kind of attracting a lot of attention as a rookie, or maybe a Patrick Mahomes, who really took over after a year of sitting on the bench behind Alex Smith. How would you describe this group that is taking over the position of quarterback in the NFL right now, Kurt?
I would describe them as being, you know, more of dual threat quarterbacks. You know, for a long time, we thought that there was one way to play this position. And if you were going to win championships, you had to be a pocket passer and you had to be a guy that could make plays from the pocket consistently. Now, I still believe you have to do that come playoff time. People are going to force you to have to beat them that way. But when you look at this new crop of quarterbacks, so many of them are multifaceted in how they play the game, is that they don't live in the pocket anymore, that there's design runs. So much of it is ad lib, getting out on the edge and creating and playing backyard football. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. Yet I know that can win in the regular season. And I know that can win, you know, when you're playing teams that aren't the best teams in the league. The question is, can that win come playoff time? Lamar Jackson, we know what he did last year. He has struggled in the playoffs when teams have forced him to play away from his strength. And that's how I look at these young quarterbacks. Dynamic. Fun to watch on a week-to-week basis. But which one is going to be the guy that can win a championship or compete for a championship playing that way, or can separate themselves and take that next step like a Patrick Mahomes? What's made him so good is, yes, he's good with the no-look passes and the stuff he does when things break up, you know, fall apart in front of him. But really where he's good is he can separate himself by what he does in the pocket. These young quarterbacks aren't developed like that quite yet.
Right.
And I'm waiting to see who's going to be that next guy or that first guy or the first couple guys that can show us they can be dynamic, but more importantly, they can be consistent inside the pocket.
Well, your career was atypical, of course. It was unconventional. But how long do you think it does take a young quarterback with so much on his plate to get comfy with the system, with the voice, with his receivers, just in general with the NFL?
Well, I think it takes a while, first of all. But the other part that always interests me, and again, I wasn't an athletic quarterback, so I had to learn how to play in the pocket if I was going to be successful. The thing that interests me is that these guys are getting more and more talented. You know, the more talented players are playing quarterback, something we didn't see a couple decades ago. And so they get farther and farther because they're such good athletes without truly having to learn how to play inside the pocket. And so even, to think you can play at this level, Colin Kaepernick jumps out at me, a guy that was such a great athlete. He took his team to the Super Bowl and never really fully understood or learned how to play the position from inside the pocket. And so the question really becomes, these guys are so used to falling back on their talent. How much does that limit them from truly getting stuck in the pocket and learning how to play inside the pocket and add that to what they can do outside the pocket? You know, can they get to that level? Because I've seen some guys, you know, Deshaun Watson's a great example. He has had tremendous success. I mean, historic success in what he's done in his early career. Mm. But he's still not learning how to play inside the pocket and on schedule. And so I'm waiting to see, is his whole career going to be more ad lib, more creative, you know, more special plays, but never learning how to, I always call it, make the layups. See what he's supposed to see, make the throws that he's supposed to make, the throws you have to make if you're going to advance in the playoffs and move on when you're playing against good teams. And I'm waiting to see that with a number of guys. You know, Kyler Murray is another one. Great success early in his career, hasn't learned how to play inside the pocket yet. Will that come? Will there come a time that they learn that? Or are they going to try to survive their whole career being more of an athletic, ad-lib type quarterback? Again, that's what I'm fascinated to see in the next 10 years with all these talented quarterbacks we have, is what their careers look like when it's all said and done.
Kurt Warner with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I told my listeners that you were going to be on the show, and one of them posed this question, which I thought might be fun. Did you have a Daniel Jones moment, meaning you're out, you weren't an athletic guy, as you said, so you weren't going to outrun the defense, but a moment where maybe the 20-yard line just completely tripped you up and you ended up on a blooper reel?
I mean, I'm on a couple blooper reels, but it was never because I ran anywhere and tripped over a line. But there are a couple, and my kids always let me know about them. And so one was, I was playing against the Indianapolis Colts, and we were going for it on fourth down because we were down late in the game. And so on fourth down, some pressure came quickly. And so I had to kind of run backwards, and I was trying to weave my way around so I could just get a throw up into the end zone. And I ended up taking a 28-yard sack, getting tripped up as I was trying to make a move, and a 28-yard sack. And so that's one that my kids always put on the blooper reel. Like, Dad, you took a 28-yard sack. A couple weeks ago, somebody posted something that Joe Flacco took a 28-yard sack. And I automatically sent it to my kids because I wasn't sure how long mine was. And I'm like, hey, I think Joe Flacco beat me. And they're like, no, Dad, yours was 28 yards also. So I do have a number of bloopers like that. But at least Daniel Jones ran 80 yards first. I mean, he ran 80 yards before he tripped. He can at least tell his grandkids that. Like, how many quarterbacks get an 80-yard run in their career? See, I don't have that. I lost 28 yards, and that's what's on my highlight reel.
You mentioned your kids, and obviously you're on your Twitter a lot talking about your sons that play football. What did it mean to you and to your family to see the Big Ten return this past weekend with your son at Nebraska?
You know, it's great. I mean, he's, you know, put in a lot of work. They've all put in a lot of work, you know, through the pandemic. He went back to school in the middle of the summer as they were going to start training for the fall, and then things get pushed back. And, you know, and those kids, they just put in so much time that they wanted to get out there and play. So it was fun to see him back out there this weekend. Obviously, a tough game against Ohio State to have to start out with Ohio State, one of the best teams in the country. But it was good to see him back on the field and doing what he loves doing. And he was voted captain, you know, after walking on, you know, to Nebraska and, you know, working his way up to become a starter and then to get on scholarship and to become a captain. Really, really proud of him. And it's really fun to see him out there playing and doing, like I said, what he loves to do. And so not a good start, but hopefully the season will get better. But it is good to see college football, and it's good to see the NFL. I mean, you wondered how far we were going to make it,
right,
to be in week 7 and going strong. I mean, it's just I'm glad that we're getting back to normal and we're working through some of the issues that we have with, you know, with everything going on in our country.
Sure. Do they ask you for advice, or do they listen to your advice about football?
No, they don't. You know, I always make myself available. I don't ever want to be that dad that kind of, you know, steps in and says, hey, you know, let me help you with this. But I do always make myself available, not just to, you know, my kids' schools, but to a lot of other schools. And, you know, up to this point, we haven't had a lot of conversations about it, which, you know, is probably cool with my son as well. But I'm always available and looking to help any program and any coach if there's a way that I can do that.
Mm. All right. So before we let you go, we have something we want you to hear. And this might be my favorite moment of Monday Night Football on Westwood One of all time. Kurt, listen.
Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds are the keto friendly snack that's as bold as you are. Be big, be bold, be adventurous. Visit porkrinds.com. Kurt used to be the voice of those pork rinds, but then Amy Lawrence of CBS Radio took your job.
Well, Amy's great.
She is. And I was visiting with her last. She tracked me. I'd left New England and worked my way to Dallas last night, and it was about midnight, and the phone rings, and she says, will you come on and visit my show? I said, yeah. And I said, what's the deal about taking money out of my guy's pocket there for the pork rinds commercial?
Yeah, she's better at than I am. No, so
I hate to admit it, but she is.
I know. I hate to admit it, too, but the truth is the truth. And
all right.
Okay, so we heard that. I nearly drove off the road when I was listening to you and Kevin. I'm screaming in my car because I'm so excited. But I do want to officially apologize for taking the $5 out of your pocket, Kurt Warren.
There is no need to apologize whatsoever. The truth is the truth. Like I said, you are better at it than I am. I got to get better at my voiceovers like Kevin. So but we have a lot of fun here on our broadcast. I love doing this with Kevin. It's one of my favorite gigs to come out here every Monday night and call these games and have a little bit of fun. But I'm glad you have the gig. You do a great job with
Thank
it.
You.
So hold on to that thing. Otherwise, I'm going to try to steal it back at some point.
All right. We'll lob it back and forth like it's a football. I enjoy listening to you guys because you have fun. And there are times like late in this game between the Rams and the Bears where he describes the situation as dire and you just don't have anything to say except to laugh, which is
Right. Well, you know how colorful he is with so many different things. And so, you know, sometimes you got a witty comeback and other times you do. You just kind of shake. Did he really just say that? And you just let it go. But again, it's at the end of the day, I think we always have to remember it's a game and we should have fun covering it. We should have fun playing it. And we definitely do that on Monday nights. And so I'm thankful to be a part of Westwood One and what we're doing.
You can find Kurt on Twitter at Kurt13Warner, two-time NFL MVP, of course, a Super Bowl champ, a husband, a dad, and Westwood One color commentator on Monday Night Football. Kurt, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
You bet, Amy, anytime.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.